one of my favorite Metallica songs. And I've been a fan since And Justice for All, and I like all of their albums. And, you know, to varying degrees, of course, I don't like all of them equally. But I remember when this came out in 1999 on the S&M album, and I saw them on this tour. They played select dates, and one of the dates was at Madison Square Garden. And it was a great show, but where we sat, the sound was terrible. So while we heard the music, it just kind of sounded muffled, even though it still sounded good. So it was kind of like hearing a great concert, but with low volume. But I think it was kind of just where we were. We were all the way in the back, but the crowd in the front and on the floor, they didn't seem to mind that much. And I'm always curious what goes through the head of a professional classical musician playing their whole lives, you know, in front of polite audiences with a polite, you know, orchestra clap every once in a while, someone cheers, but then they go to a heavy metal show, you know, and the crowd's going nuts and you hear that roar. I wonder what's going through their heads when they do that. But I think what made this song grasp me and make it one of my favorites was seeing them also perform it live on one of their Summer Sanitarium tours. It might have been in the early 2000s. And it might have been when Pantera was opening up for them. And I remember seeing Pantera and a couple of years before that. And Pantera is one of my favorite bands. And I've seen Pantera, wow, since Far Beyond Driven. And such great music. But I remember, like, Phil Anselmo was bad-mouthing Metallica for a while because Metallica had the nerve to cut their hair and their nerve to change their music and the nerve not to wave the flag of heavy metal, which goes to show how unhealthy putting yourself in a box really is and just how tribal people can be with everything and even with music. I remember getting into fights. I remember I smacked my friend Steve over the head because he dared badmouth Led Zeppelin. It was, I was young, but it was so stupid that people get into fights over these things. Granted, we were little kids, but it's something I deeply regret. And I apologize, Steve. We'll do another Metallica podcast soon. So I remember when I saw Pantera, he started badmouthing Metallica, and Metallica is my favorite band, was my favorite band back then. And I just got angry, you know, my 16, 17-year-old self just got angry. So I remember going to the Summer Sanitarium, and I printed out a picture of Pantera back in, like, 1987, where they all wore, like, makeup and had, you know, their hair up high and hairspray and spandex. They looked like a glam band. Now, those albums didn't necessarily sound like, you know, like a Poison or Warrant or bands of that ilk. It kind of sounded like, you know, a lighter Judas Priest from what I remember. But I remember printing out a picture of Pantera and just trying to point out Anselmo's hypocrisy from, like, wherever I went. I was like, I would show people, like, you see a picture of Phil Anselmo here? Meanwhile, I don't even think they'd ask me. I'd be like, hey, man, you see this? Or if I started talking with a complete stranger, it's like, check this out. And he has the nerve to badmouth Metallica? My band? How dare they? So anyway, it might have been this show, and they start to go into No Leaf Clover, and they have the orchestra, at least the intro, in the background, so you kind of know this is it. And they start kicking in, and at least a lot of the people like around me started singing this song. Now, meanwhile, this song was kind of like, you know, an unreleased song just made for S&M. It might have been during Load and Reload sessions. It was that and Minus Human. And Minus Human is a pretty good song, but not as good as No Leaf Clover. And everybody around me singing it, and then I'm singing it, and then just singing the lyrics back. And I'm going to go over the lyrics in a short while after this intro. And I hate intros. Meanwhile, I'm doing it with all my tangents. Ugh. But anyway, just singing those lyrics. And these songs, and I think what draws me to, like, the Load and Reload era, And even, like, the Black Album, even though the Black Album, it's kind of overplayed for me now, but I deeply respect it as a piece of art and music so much. I think what fascinates me about The Load and Reload is all the backlash they got from people, from the way they looked, from the way they sounded, how they dare want to venture out into something. And it's about romanticizing the past, I think. I think you have a lot of these old fans who go, my Metallica was in 1985 and 1987, and as soon as Cliff died, they left. Everybody has these fucking theories that they know what's going on in their heads, and they know the right direction for Metallica. You know who knows the right direction for Metallica? Metallica knows the right directions for them. And of course they'll have advisors and they'll have people advisors. But ultimately it's their decision. So while we can have our Metallica, the fans' Metallica, you know, Hetfield sings when he sings Whiplash because you're Metallica, and he's right in some respects. And in other respects, it's not really our Metallica. They share it with us. And whatever they want to do, as long as it's genuine, you can't really go wrong, even though some people won't like it, some people will. You know, a lot of people, well, I don't know about a lot, but there are Saint Anger fans out there. And Saint Anger is the least favorite of my Metallica albums, but I have criticisms of it, definitely, as far as the sound, and the songs are too long, and just the whole recording of it in general. But, you know, the songs are still there, and they're good, and it was a definition of the moment in time. It was a reflection of it. They weren't trying to be something that they're not. So, let me get to what the subject is of this song. It's No Leaf Clover with orchestra conducted by the late, great Michael Kamen. I remember when this came out, I was like, wow, this is so cool. I believe Deep Purple did something with a symphony before this, but this was the first time, like, and then Page and Plant did something with an orchestra as well. Not a full orchestra, but a pretty good size orchestra. And but this was like a heavy metal band, my heavy metal band doing it. And I so admired how adventurous they are, and that they want to take risks, and that they do what they want to do. But also, what fascinates me about the Load and Reload era is how emotional Hetfield got with his music. The albums before that, the Black Album not included, but like, you know, Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, and most of And Justice for All. I think Dyer's Eve is when Hetfield started to get introspective as opposed to writing about what's going on outside of him. He started to write about what's going on inside of him. And when you do that, when you write about how someone feels, as opposed to something historical or something, a trend or something like that. Though feelings, songs about feelings will last forever because everybody has those feelings. So No Leaf Clover is one of those songs where I think it's just Hetfield just going over, you know, a thought process where, you know, just when you think you got it, just when you think you've nailed this thing called life and everything's going good, everything's going well, something, you know, punches you in the face, or you get hit by a train, just like that, things can change. And that's what I think the song is about. So allow me please to go over the lyrics right now. So it begins, and it feels right this time, on this crash course with the big time. So, oh my God, 1999, you know, in the 90s, they're the biggest band in the world. I mean, they still are one of the biggest bands in the world, but they are just riding this wave ever since, you know, they just went up and up and up and up and up, and the Black Album just, they exploded, you know, and even after the Black Album, they're riding this just stardom and playing stadiums and selling millions of albums and controversy. And so, yeah, they're, you know, they made it to the big time. But then the next lyric is pay no mind to the distant thunder. It's like, oh my God, it's the coming dread. You can, like, there's something going on, but the subject of this song isn't either he's aware of it, or you're just not paying attention to it, because it's like, oh man, I'm hitting the big time. This isn't going to happen to me. And the next lyric is, new day fills his head with wonder, boy. You know, new day coming, you know, another wonderful day. This is going to be great. Then the next lyrics are, says it feels right this time, turned it round, and found the right line. It's like, all right, man, things are going, things are grooving, things are great. Next lyrics, good day to be alive, sir. Good day to be alive, he said. And then the music stops almost, and then like you just hear the guitar in the background. What a guitar tone, man. What a guitar tone when they did this live. It's just, it's like that crystal clear, like almost like raindrops falling guitar that Hetfield can get with his sound. And man, it's just so, it's so good. So it's like, yeah. So speaking of good day to be alive, he said. And then the next lyrics are, then it comes to be that the soothing light at the end of your tunnel is just a freight train coming your way. And those lyrics, man, then, now, they hit me like a freight train, because especially this year, I mean, I'm not going to be specific about it. You know, there have been so many times where it's like, okay, things are going well. I got this. Things, I'm finally finding my groove. I'm finally doing this. I'm finally doing that. And then right away, you know, and these are just external factors, not to mention the internal things that are going on inside me. But then, you know, the external determines my internal. And just like that, things just fall apart. And it's happened a few times this year. So I think of this song now, and it's like, oh my God, this is what's going on to me now. And I'm sure the same thing happened with Hetfield, you know, with his problems with addiction and rage and anger and all these things, you know. They hit him over the head too, and he still struggles with those kind of things. He's probably doing a little better, but man, all the money in the world doesn't erase your problems. So the lyrics repeat, then it comes to be, yeah, I don't have to repeat it. Then the next lyrics are, don't it feel right like this? All the pieces fall to his wish. So points out that, you know, the bad thing has happened, but then he goes back to when things were good. So don't it feel right like this? All the pieces fall to his wish. Sucker for that quick reward, boy. Sucker for that quick reward, they said. So, you know, he's probably talking about maybe not necessarily him, because I know Metallica really took a slow ascent into stardom, but maybe talking about, you know, which, you know, something like a song like Moth Into Flame, you know, the quick stardom. And I just heard an interview with Lars Ulrich at the 92nd Street Y talking about how he couldn't imagine how bands like, you know, Guns N' Roses sold so many albums right off the bat, how they dealt with that just from nowhere to really everywhere kind of stardom really quick. And Ulrich said, we're still trying to deal with now, but at least it was slow for them. So yeah, you know, if you see that reward hanging over you, especially when you're young and you don't have a job, you don't have a home, you don't have any money, you grab that and you hang on tight, even if the deal sucks, even if long term it's gonna suck, but you grab that, so it's that quick reward. And then it repeats, you know, then it comes to be the soothing light in your tunnel. It's just a freight train coming your way, And then he sings, then it comes to be, yeah. And then it comes to be, yeah. I would assume the train keeps coming and keeps coming. So man, what lyrics. And Hetfield as a lyricist, you know, these lyrics are, you know, there's nothing like, they're simple. And I don't mean simple as in stupid or unintelligent. They're greatly intelligent. They're simple in that, you know, it's not like referencing, you know, I don't know, you know, it's not like Rime of the Ancient Mariner that Iron Maiden wrote. It's relatable. Relatable is a different word. And he's one of my favorite lyricists, Hetfield. And what makes his lyrics better is how he sings them. So looking at them on paper, it's like, all right, well, these are okay. But then when Hetfield, yeah, when he sings that, it's just such the emotion in there. But, you know, even reading these lyrics to me really just hit home, you know. And I'm probably just combining all my life experiences, my relationship with this band, Metallica, my connection with them, you know. They were like, you know, I'm probably the second generation of Metallica fan, because I started listening to them with Justice, you know, the first generation being, you know, the ones who discover them and Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning. I just had a conversation with a friend of mine who saw them in like 1982, and she didn't really know who they were back then, but she saw them like in New York City, and it was probably with Anthrax. I said, was Anthrax with them? She's like, I don't know. But So combining all that and then just, you know, how relatable it is, at least to me, things are going great, and boom, things are not going great anymore. And I remember, you know, probably what makes me like this song more is the resistance a song like this got and an era like this has gotten from fans who think they're the true fans or fans that have liked them since the thrash days. I have to remind everybody that Metallica has been getting criticized since Ride the Lightning. When there was acoustic guitar on Fight Fire with Fire, people criticized them. You know, when they started becoming more melodic, people criticized them. I'm sure when Cliff Burton died and they went on, people criticized them. When they released a video, holy shit. I mean, that's how I discovered them. I discovered them through TV and through MTV and seeing them on the Grammys for the first time. They played the Grammys. You know, people just want to hold on to their past so much that they don't realize, you know, the purpose of a band is, at least I think, is not to have fans, not to have a small but like cult and niche like following. They want to spread their message through as many people as they can. At least that's what I think Metallica wants to do. And people get so possessive of their bands. Jealousy sometimes rides into it. I'm sure there are people around Metallica's age or a little younger who tried to be musicians and they didn't make it. So they see Metallica just keep making it and making it. There's probably jealousy there. Envy is there. So I remember I was in a heavy metal music store back when they existed on Long Island. And the guy who was working there was talking about it. And, you know, he's, you know, likes to thrash Metallica. And talking about this song in general, and I love this song. And the lyrics, when he goes, then it comes to be, yeah. Like, Hetfield, his voice raises up. So it's like, then it comes to be, yeah. And he keeps repeating it. And I remember hearing it. I said, wow, that sounds weird. It's not necessarily the choice I would make, but going high like that, but Hetfield made it, and it doesn't change the fact how much I love this song. That would be something I wouldn't mind, you know, if they redid the song, if they changed it. But this guy was just like, I can't believe you raised his voice on that. It's not the same Metallica. And then he just made up some shit about them and just like, blah, 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 blah. You know, everybody has predictions. Oh, they're not going to last. And they sold out and they did this and they did that. And let me get to this idea about selling out, because I've been hearing this ever since And Justice for All, ever since, oh, they released the video, they're selling out. True sellouts are people who release a work of art even though they don't want to release that art. So the only reason they're releasing that art is to make money. It's not genuinely what they want to do. They're doing it for the money. Therefore, they're selling out. They're selling out to themselves. They're not being genuine. As far as I can tell, Metallica hasn't done that. People may say, no, they did. They changed their sound to get more commercial. I don't believe it. Because Justice was such a monster and successful album, why not release Justice Part 2? Why not do it? You know, Justice was kind of a relatively natural follow-up to Puppets. They upped the progression from Puppets. Where the fuck do you go from Justice? Huh? I'm talking to you, buddy. Where do you go? You can't. You can't go anywhere. So you bring it back down. You bring it back down to your roots. You make a great, solid rock album, like the Black Album, and then you continue with Load and Reload. Saint Anger, just all the crazy stuff that went on during the recording of that album, you know, makes it into like a raw sounding album, even though I disagree with the sound. And, you know, some of the detuned guitars kind of, you know, I don't think they were piggybacking on the popularity of nu metal at the time with the detuned instruments. They might have been influenced by it, and that's fine. You want to be influenced by new things around you. You want to be inspired by younger, hungrier artists around you so you can, you know, Led Zeppelin were big fans of punk rock, even though punk rock hated them. They were bands like Zeppelin and The Who and The Stones were the antithesis of everything that punk was for. But people like Jimmy Page loved it because he loved the energy of it. I think that if John Bonham had lived after, you know, the synth-heavy In Through the Outdoor, which I love In Through the Outdoor, Zeppelin's my second favorite band next to Metallica. They probably would be my first favorite band if it wasn't for, you know, some of the personal things that they did. It's, you know, Led Zeppelin's a problematic fave, and a lot of bands in the 70s are problematic fave just based on their behavior back then. But anyway, that's for another podcast, separating the art from the artist. But Metallica, if I had to choose, would be my favorite band because I've grown up with them, second generation wise. So you go from Saint Anger, and then, you know, they take, you know, the huge break between Saint Anger and Death Magnetic. Death Magnetic, they go back to thrashier elements, and then, you know, Hardwired, it stays with that, but Hetfield's voice is so much better. And I hope for the next album they become a little more adventurous. You know, I think they've gone back to their roots as much as they can, but I would hope that they do something else. Throw us for another loop, because that's what I love about Metallica so much. And I love Death Magnetic. I love Hardwired to Self-Destruct. I like Saint Anger. Anything that Metallica releases, I think I'll like. I haven't heard the Lulu album in its entirety, but I consider that more of a Lou Reed album than a Metallica album. But I do want to buy that soon, just to listen to it, just to listen to the whole thing. I just want to hear what it's about. I really do. I've heard clips of it. It's like, all right, I got to hear the whole thing. One of these days I will. So, and I hope one of these days you will share this podcast and contact me through Twitter. I'm at Mike Lane Act. That's MikeLaneAct. You can find me on Facebook at Mike Lane Actor. Please rate, share, and comment on Podbeans, the Apple Podcast app, Stitcher, YouTube, all that good stuff. And until next time, ladies, gents, and everyone else along the spectrum, I hope to release more podcasts more frequently, but, you know, it came to be that the soothing light at the end of my tunnel was a little freight train coming my way, so now it's just about adjusting to that freight train. And I think I will. I know I will. It's just, you know, these things take time, but I definitely hope to find the time. And thanks everybody for listening. Take it easy. Bye.